Just some quick housekeeping items in the interest of time and giving opportunities to as many people as possible. We ask that you kindly refrain from asking two-parted questions and please try to keep your questions focused on Forbidden Door. I'm going to turn it over to Tony for some opening thoughts and then we'll open the line for questions. Tony, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Danny. It's great to be here with all of you. I'm so excited for this weekend. It's really one of my favorite weekends in wrestling coming up this Sunday. It'll be Sunday afternoon for all of you in America, and it'll be a great Sunday evening for us here in the UK. I just am thrilled to be in London anytime, and in particular for this event. It's just going to be so fantastic, and very excited to talk to you and hopefully answer as many questions as I can. So with that, Danny, let's start answering the Forbidden Door press call questions right now. Thanks, man.
Let's do it, Tony. First up is John Alba with the takedown on SI, followed by Courtney Rice with Women's Wrestling Talk. John?
Hey, John.
There we go. Now you got me?
We got you, John.
Okay, fantastic. Tony, always appreciate the time. Thank you. And hope you're enjoying your London trip. Forbidden Door, great gate, great crowd, I'd have to imagine. All Out, you guys have had an awesome advance for that as well. But WWE has taken up a lot of the media airspace over the course of the last few weeks with the ESPN deal. They announced the show that's going to go head-to-head with WrestlePalooza. This has been something that a lot of wrestling fans have been monitoring and wondering how you guys are going to go about planning out your show head-to-head with that. Do you have any reaction or anything that you can add in terms of what the plan may be moving forward?
Well, I think we've had a great 2025 in AEW, and I believe in large part that's because everyone in AEW is really focused on making AEW a tremendous promotion and continuing this excellent year that we're having in 2025. We've had great pay-per-view shows, and I think AEW's had a great tradition of pay-per-view shows for many, many years. And our TV shows are as strong and as consistent week to week as they've ever been. Wednesday Night Dynamite's having a great year. Saturday Night Collision's having a great year. They've been excellent shows, and we've been able to grow the viewership. We ended 2024 and made a new arrangement going into this year where not only are we on TBS every Wednesday and TNT every Saturday for Wednesday Night Dynamite and Saturday Night Collision, but these shows also now live stream on HBO Max is part of a simulcast, and we've been able to not only add new viewers on HBO Max in this year, but also as we've been adding these viewers throughout the year, we've been able to grow our cable viewership, and we're really, really proud of that. And we think we've been able to grow AEW's TV viewership, which is the lifeblood of AEW, through continuing to put on these tremendous shows on Wednesdays and on Saturdays, but also through the support of the fans, which has just been so excellent for AEW in 2025. And I want to keep doing that. And so we're very focused on AEW and making the shows tremendous. I think we'll have a great Collision on Saturday. I'm really excited about that event. There's great, great matches on that show. Great matches like the Young Bucks taking on Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly. A rematch from Wrestle Dynasty with Tomohiro Ishii, who's a great star from New Japan Pro Wrestling, and is somebody who's been a great star in AEW, taking on another person who's a top star in those promotions all over the world, frankly, and also the winner of this year's G1 Climax, which is Konosuke Takeshita, who we're so excited to have back in AEW on Collision, and further great matches like Sky Blue and Julia Hart, taking on Willow Nightingale, Queen Aminata, and so much more this Saturday. And I think going into this Sunday's huge pay-per-view event, having that great momentum of the TV shows has really been a big for us. And we've continued it in Q3. We're having a good year in 2025, and Q1 was bigger than Q4 of last year. Q2 was bigger than Q1. And now in Q3, we've got a legitimate chance to continue that growth, with great ratings in recent weeks on Dynamite and another strong quarter for Collision. And I think all these great things have come together to really build a lot of excitement inside AEW and outside AEW and all around the company. So I want to be able to continue that. And I think the most important thing for us to do that is to talk about AEW and work really hard on AEW every week. And it means not focusing on necessarily what every wrestling promotion is doing, but I do like watching wrestling and keeping up with what other wrestling promotions are doing. And we've been in business since 2019. And in every one of those years, there's been other wrestling promotions at times doing some very cool things as well. And at the very best of AEW, I think we've been just super focused on what we're doing, not on being the only wrestling company on the world, but trying our best to be the best. And I know we have the best wrestlers, and this year I think we're doing the best TV shows, the best pay-per-views, and I know we have the best fans. So thanks for asking, and definitely it's going to be an exciting few months, and this should be a great weekend this Sunday afternoon with Forbidden Door.
Thank you, Tony. Courtney Rice with Women's Wrestling Talk is up next, followed by Andrew Baydala with Final Bell Media. Courtney?
Hey, Courtney.
It looks like we lost Courtney.
Okay, let's go ahead and try Andrew Baydala with Final Bell Media, and then we'll try Courtney again.
Hello? Can you guys hear me?
Oh, perfect.
Oh, hi, she's Courtney. Back.
Hi, Tony. Thank you for having me and sending good luck to the Jaguars this weekend on the final preseason game of the season. My question is mostly towards Alex Windsor, because since she made her official debut at All in Texas, she's been making a lot of noise, obviously working under the AEW Women's Champion, Toni Storm, and now she's coming back to her home country in a big match in part of the Fatal 4-Way match for the TBS title, which includes Mercedes Moné and also a representative from CMLL and Stardom. And a lot of people are not too familiar with Alex Windsor, and this is a really good opportunity to reintroduce people to the main audience, considering, as I mentioned, she's going to be back in her home country. My question regarding this is, since we've seen a lot of growth within the women's division, and also seeing the potential since we've had some females that took in serious injuries this past year, do you see Alex Windsor being a future top player in the AEW women's division?
Absolutely. That's a great question. I think Alex Windsor's having a great year and is taking advantage of a great opportunity. Alex Windsor had some video packages and some hype around her joining AEW. We had worked with Alex Windsor a bit before in AEW and in ROH, and she had challenged Athena for the Ring of Honor title in ROH at Global Wars Australia, which was a great event and a great match as part of a great night. And I really am a big fan of Alex Windsor. And as we approached AEW All in Texas, I thought she would be a great addition for the Casino Gauntlet match. And I coached that match and worked with the great wrestlers. There's so much talent in AEW and in the men's group and the women's group. There's so many great wrestlers. This year, I'm glad you mentioned injuries, because that match, it was an excellent match, but it was hard hitting. Several of the wrestlers in the match that we had plans for got knocked out for the rest of the summer and have had to make a lot of adjustments. Some great names who we really like were injured. But one of the real bright spots in the match was the debut of Alex Windsor. And I've made some adjustments and really have built Alex Windsor in as a focus of the promotion, as a huge, huge piece of the puzzle for AEW, looking at the upcoming future of the company. And Alex Windsor has just been excellent. She's delivered time after time in great matches, singles matches, tag matches, going against the very best competition in pro wrestling here in AEW. And I think Alex Windsor can be a top star in AEW in the future. And to go one further, I think Alex Windsor is a top star in AEW right now. We saw her in the main event of Wednesday Night Dynamite last night, and she fit right in. She's been in these huge matches on TV, big matches, including huge main event matches on Collision and Dynamite. And Alex Windsor is in there with the very best wrestlers in the world and delivering. And I think she's going to have an excellent opportunity in her home country, not far from her home, to bring back the TBS championship and become the very face of TBS, the network where she was in a great main event match just last night. Alex Windsor has so much potential, somebody we're really excited about, and it's a team and it's a sport. And that's one of the really exciting things about pro wrestling. Like in a lot of other sports, you build roster, you look for depth, you look for young, exciting stars. And the nature of sports, in particular, such a violent, intense sport like pro wrestling, injuries will happen. They do create opportunities. They create challenges, but they also create opportunities for companies and especially for wrestlers. And Alex Windsor's certainly making the most of the great opportunities that she was always going to be up for great opportunities in AEW. And she's jumped into the very top of the picture and is in the championship scene against the top names right now. And Alex Windsor fits right in with the very top stars that we've seen, like the AEW Women's World Champion, Timeless Toni Storm, her non-sexual good friend, like the Ring of Honor Women's World Champion, Athena, who is 68-0 in Ring of Honor as champion and now going into Forbidden Door herself as the AEW Women's World Championship challenger. And of course, the most decorated wrestler in the world, the TBS champion, Mercedes Moné, who will be in this great four-way match along with great competitors like Persephone from CMLL and now Bozilla, this great powerhouse from Stardom, who is joining the match in this excellent field. It's going to be a great match. It's going to be a great show, Forbidden Door, this Sunday. And we're excited to have a hometown hero and a great wrestling star like Alex Windsor wrestling on this show. Thanks for asking.
Thank you, Tony, and thanks, Courtney. Andrew Baydala with Final Bell Media is up next, followed by Samantha Shipman with the Daily DDT. Andrew?
Hey, Tony. Hope you're doing
well. Drew.
In light of the recent comments about the pay-per-view model and the sentiment from top executives that it may be quote-unquote dead, and along with the rise of the direct-to-consumer streaming platforms, I'm curious about your thoughts given AEW's strong pay-per-view buy rates and their impressive pay-per-view attendance figures. Would you ever consider establishing a singular home for AEW pay-per-views or even building your own platform? Thanks.
Well, thank you for asking. I really appreciate it. And I really do think, as you've said, AEW is having a tremendous year of pay-per-view. We've had strong numbers and great events and great demand for these events. And I think we can continue that, including Forbidden Door this Sunday afternoon. The support of the fans has been tremendous. So certainly pay-per-view's a great platform for AEW, working with great providers. Right now, we're working with Amazon Prime, who've joined us this year. They're tremendous, working with all the cable and satellite companies, InDemandPPV.com. Now YouTube, DAZN, some really, really great partners joining us. And in the future, when it's ready to go, I also look forward to HBO Max joining the pay-per-view provider party. And AEW certainly sees HBO Max and Warner Brothers, TBS and TNT, these relationships as being a lifeblood of our company. And I can't wait for them to join when it's ready to go, the pay-per-view provider as well. And absolutely, our pay-per-views have been great shows, but we've also had tremendous results, as you said yourself, Drew. And I think the medium has been great for us this year. And as we continue to deliver great events, we've had great results and great support from the wrestling fans. So thanks for asking.
Thanks, Tony. Samantha Shipman with the Daily DDT is up next, followed by Mike Johnson with PWInsider.com. Samantha?
Hi, Tony.
Hey.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
I hear you great.
Okay, great. Thanks. Thank you for the time. So Forbidden Door is obviously a joint pay-per-view between yourselves and New Japan. And this year seems to be, well, it doesn't seem to be, this year is a little bit more heavy with AEW versus AEW matches, and fans seem to really want more crossover matches where it's kind of an AEW versus New Japan type deal. Is that something that we could see
going back to in the future, where it kind of is just where it's more head-to-head competition, and even having some of the crossover that we have with, you know, obviously Tanahashi is going to be, and Gabe Kidd are going to be in the cage match. So will we see more stuff like that, or can we potentially go back to having just AEW versus New Japan type matches?
Sure. That's a great question. And this year, the schedule was very different with Forbidden Door being moved to the end of the summer. And after the G1 climax, it meant that it would change how the event was presented this year. And we've been able to take advantage of it. And I think in a lot of ways, it make the most of it. It does mean less participation this year in some ways from New Japan Pro Wrestling and Stardom, because both of them have been involved in some of the biggest tournaments and biggest events in their respective calendars with New Japan Pro Wrestling and Stardom, which is why Bozilla is just joining the field this week. And a lot of the stars from New Japan Pro Wrestling have just arrived on TV in the past week. We do have great matches involving competition from New Japan Pro Wrestling, including, as you mentioned, the president of New Japan Pro Wrestling, Mr. Tanahashi himself, teaming with the fan favorites for the greatest fan favorites to go with another legendary fan favorite, Tanahashi, of course, him teaming with Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi, the Golden Lovers, and Will Ospreay and Darby Allin. It's a fantastic group. And of course, Gabe Kidd joining that team of Rule Breakers, along with the Death Riders and the Young Bucks. And a lot of these men do have great history in New Japan Pro Wrestling, certainly, and in AEW. But yes, this year, there are more AEW wrestlers up and down the card because of the availability. I think it made all the sense in the world. I was told a lot of the New Japan wrestlers were not going to be available until the week of the pay-per-view, which is not, you know, in this case is something that I took on and said, okay, well, we're going to use the best wrestlers to put on the very best event. And I think fans are really excited about the matches, whether it's the Lights Out cage match or something like the TNT championship match with Kyle Fletcher, which I'm really excited about, to have Hiromu Takahashi here as the challenger. He's somebody who I've had circled for a long time, and he was able to come in a week ahead, but still not very long before the event, but he was able to get in a week ahead and been on TV the past couple weeks, which has been great. You know, last year as an example, I have seen at times that the more you get the wrestlers from New Japan in, introduce them and give them opportunities to wrestle on television and introduce them to the audience, they really are a great group of wrestlers in New Japan. They deliver in these spots, but there has to be availability. And this year was certainly for us with that availability, I wanted to slot them in and make the very most of the participation of great wrestlers from New Japan Pro Wrestling and Stardom. But again, a lot of them didn't arrive until this week, in addition to Hiromu coming in last week. So this year, the cadence is a little different, but I do think in the future, as we move back to Forbidden Door coming a little sooner and probably typically before the G1 and before the Stardom Grand Prix, I think it creates more opportunities for more participation. And I'm just going to do what I think is best for the event. You know, I'll give you a great example from last year using three wrestlers I really like and something that I thought worked out really, really well. Also, I'm not really sure who leaked this, but, you know, a few people knew about it, but very, very few. So it is an interesting story, but I will admit that it is true. Last summer, one of my favorite wrestlers, and he is still one of my favorite wrestlers in New Japan Pro Wrestling, but last summer, I was looking at using somebody who's not available at all this year, who I would have loved to have used on the card, but he's just not able to come at all. It's not like he wasn't just available for the TV. He's not even available to come to the pay-per-view at all, even though he's a great wrestler. And that's Yota Tsuji. I think Yota Tsuji is excellent, excellent pro wrestler. And he's participated in the event in the past. But I'd like to have used him more and more in the event. And last year I had maybe envisioned a bigger role for him. I had considered him possibly as a title challenger to Swerve Strickland. And a few people said to me, you know, he's a great wrestler, but no matter how much we do on TV for a champion like Swerve, who's at the time was a newer champion, a first time world champion and being established, a few people, and I think they were right, that had the best interest of Swerve and AEW, said we think like a more established wrestler, even if it's not a New Japan wrestler last year, might have been the best thing for the Forbidden Door pay-per-view and the fans, and somebody that would give Swerve a great opponent and do the best things for the fans and AEW, the promotion, and everybody involved in Forbidden Door, including New Japan. And that was Will Ospreay as the challenger. And Will Ospreay himself came and said, I think I'd be a great challenger for Swerve, and maybe it could help the event more. If you're interested in that, I'd be very willing to do it. Even if it's a little outside the traditional way we've done the Forbidden Door pay-per-view. And I thought about it and I thought it was right. And I made the choice to do it. And I went with Swerve and Will Ospreay. And I think it was the right thing to do looking back, even if it was an AEW versus AEW match, it was the best thing for the championship and the champion Swerve and the fans. And I do think Swerve versus Yota Tsuji would have been a great match last year, but I think it was a good change for the fans, an example of trying to make the best match with all the best available wrestlers. But at times, the best match very often has been a top star from New Japan against a top star from AEW. And I do think we have great examples of that over the years. And again, a match I'm looking forward to for the TNT Championship is one of our best rising top stars entering his prime with the TNT champion, Kyle Fletcher, the proto star, defending the championship against Hiromu Takahashi. I think Forbidden Door's built on great matches like that, participation from promotions, again, like this four-way TBS championship match that we were talking about, with multiple promotions involved, with the TBS champion, Mercedes Moné, defending against the aforementioned Alex Windsor and this TMLL rep, Persephone, and Stardom's Bozilla. But with Bozilla just joining us this week and has not even been able to travel to TV yet, for example, we've been featuring Mercedes Moné and Alex Windsor, and Persephone just arrived this week. And I really like her Persephone a lot, too. And I do think Persephone from CMLL and a lot of the stars from CMLL can be involved in this event in the future. It's a great event, and I think it's a great lineup this year for the fans with stars from multiple promotions. There is some great participation from New Japan Pro Wrestling, and I do think as the calendar changes back next year to being probably more similar to what it's been the past several years of Forbidden Door for the events we had in the past years in Chicago and Toronto and New York, I think this year we're going to present a great Forbidden Door with the best of the best for the fans here in London. It's going to be a great, great event Sunday afternoon. And then as the availability in future years of the wrestlers from New Japan and Stardom changes based on the calendar, I'll try to integrate them as much as possible and do it in a way that's the very best I can for the fans. And I can't promise it'll always be perfect or that it'll always be right, but I can promise we'll always do our best in AEW. And we're working really hard to make it a great year for the fans. And I think along with our partners, New Japan Pro Wrestling, CMLL, and Stardom, all the promotions are going to come together and deliver a great Forbidden Door this Sunday. Crazy, it's right around the corner, and this is one of my favorite wrestling weeks of the year. Thank you for asking.
Thanks, Tony. Mike Johnson with PW Insider is up next, followed by Jamie Falcon with the Los Angeles Times. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, Mike.
Mike, you got to unmute your line. Okay, why don't we go ahead to Jamie Falcon with the Los Angeles Times, and we'll try Mike again afterwards. Jamie?
Great.
Jamie, we're ready for you if you can unmute your line.
Sorry, folks. So I just wanted to follow up on this last question. What is the balance like to make multiple promotions happy? You're dealing with three outside promotions and yourself. How are you finding the balance to keep everybody together, everybody going forward, and everybody ready to continue to participate in things like this?
Well, in this case, AEW's the lead producer. And we've got great support from other promotions, but in this case, AEW is built up to be very sufficient and having a great 2025. So even if it's a year where the calendar means that some of our partners aren't going to be able to have all the week to week to week participation in the lead up to the event, that's okay, because we're a team. And for me, being the lead producer on this show, it means that I'll use people that I can get, people that are available. And then when we can get the very best of the best and get them all together, we're going to create a great event and create a great flow into that event. So the original Forbidden Door was one of the most challenging things I've ever worked on. And it was nobody's fault. It was just due to a combination of a series of injuries that happened, and then injuries and illness at an unprecedented rate over the month leading into the event, wrestlers on both sides. And we made change after change after change. And even with all the changes, it turned out to be one of the greatest events in either promotion's history. Certainly for us in our short history in AEW, that original Forbidden Door is one of our greatest events. Now with Wrestle Dynasty, that was different this year because New Japan Pro Wrestling was the lead producer on that event. I was in Charlotte producing Collision. And that to me is being a team player. And I think it's noteworthy. You know, that was a really important night for us. And I know there's going to be 52 collisions throughout the year. We're having a great year on Collision. And it was a conscious choice, knowing that it's a huge night for the promotion, but it's also a huge night for our partners. And they're in the Tokyo Dome and they need our help. And it's our first Collision of the most important media rights deal we've ever done. It's a huge night for the company, that first Collision show in Charlotte, but I had still went to support my partners with a lineup that included Kenny Omega's return to the ring and top stars like the Young Bucks, Mercedes Moné, Brody King, Ricochet, Mina Shirakawa, Takeshita, so many of our great stars. And Takeshita is now gone representing both companies since then, and delivered in the G1. Looking back at the stars specifically representing AEW that day, so many of the biggest and best names in AEW, we sent them to join the group to help the team, including AEW, but also the lead producer of the event, New Japan Pro Wrestling, their sister company Stardom. And we all worked together. And that was one of those days where I said, okay, if a lot of the big AEW stars aren't going to be at this first Collision, you know, we'll make it a great show. We had great matches on the show, huge TNT title fight, a huge tag team title fight, a lot of great things on the show. But certainly a lot of the great stars were also that night at Wrestle Dynasty, where our partners are the lead producers on the show and we're helping them with that event. And it's a team. So we all try to support each other and the needs of the calendar. And at times, you know, going into the shows, if it means sending some of the top stars from one promotion to the other, it's a balance. And I think we all work together really, really well. This has been kind of a different year in the calendar with All In Texas moving. And this weekend in the past has been All In at Wembley Stadium the last few years. Forbidden Door, typically the first 3 years we did the event, again, the aforementioned events in Chicago, Toronto, and New York, all those events were a little earlier in the summer. So it's just a different calendar, and we made it work this year.
Still waiting.
And I think that, you know, for me,
yes,
you know, I'm glad you asked about it, but definitely for AEW as a promotion and for our partners with AEW, I do think, you know, it's going to be a great, great event. And whenever we have to support each other or change our lineup, whenever we have to do anything to help our partners, I really feel like AEW, New Japan Pro Wrestling, Stardom, CMLL, all like working together and try to help each other whenever we can. Thanks for asking.
Thank you, Tony. We're going to go back to Mike Johnson at PW Insider, and he'll be followed by Dominic D'Angelo with Brass Ring Media. Mike?
I think I heard Mike back there, so I assume you got the mute.
I think I'm back.
Yeah.
All right. So my question kind of dovetails off what you were talking about a little bit about earlier. Yesterday, you guys were in Glasgow, obviously this weekend, London. Some of the biggest live reactions and live moments have taken place internationally for AEW this year, whether it be Australia, Mexico City, and so forth. How much would you like a balance between running outside the United States, given how hot those crowds seem to be every time AEW goes elsewhere? And how hard is it logistically to kind of bounce around and balance that United States versus the rest of the world.
Got great fans all over, and I do like running the international events. We've had some of our biggest and best TVs of the year have been international shows, and we get great support all over. And we're going to continue traveling. Of course, right now we're in the UK, just had a great event in Glasgow, and now going to be a great pay-per-view this Sunday in London. These are going to be great crowds, and the London event in particular, it's going to be one of the top five biggest crowds, one of the top five most tickets sold, and top five biggest gates in AEW's history. And it's noteworthy that really three of our top four gates and three of our top five attendances have been in London. So London has been a great home to AEW, and there's a lot of international cities that have been great homes to AEW events. Grand Slam Mexico was one of the most successful shows in the history of AEW. And I just spoke about some of that great international cooperation that was on display there as they hosted us for Wednesday Night Dynamite Grand Slam in Arena Mexico, the home arena of our partner CMLL and the Cathedral of Lucha Libre. Of course, Glasgow was just tremendous last night. Those fans were excellent for Dynamite, and they are excellent for Collision as well. You're going to want to see that show on Saturday. It was just great, and it's going to be a great event leading into the Forbidden Door pay-per-view. The London fans, we know what they're capable of, but this is going to be our first time in the O2 for AEW. I'm so excited about that. I've been there for great events in the past, like big boxing matches, and my best friend Jack Whitehall hosted the Brits there. I've seen great things at the O2, but I've never been able to work on AEW there. So I'm really excited about that. And it's going to be a historic weekend for AEW. And it's a great point, Mike. The international shows have been really successful for AEW this year. We're having a great year domestically and internationally. So it's a big part of our profile. And you've also seen us go into new markets for the first time this year, whether it's Scotland last night or Australia for Grand Slam Australia, which was a great success for Collision, or Mexico for Grand Slam Mexico, which was a huge, huge success, one of the biggest Dynamite shows in years and one of the most important Dynamites ever. And these are all markets and countries we want to go back to. And there's other great cities in these countries that could host AEW as well. So we're really excited about the international growth. And U.S., we're having a great year. We just had our biggest U.S. attendance ever for our last pay-per-view, which a lot of us think is the best show we've ever done. And we've set a high standard here over the past 6+ years. So it is a balance between the great international events and all these U.S. cities. And after 6 years, there are still so many great cities in the United States where we're longing to host a pay-per-view and looking forward to hosting our debut pay-per-view still. So one of the real silver linings and nice things about being such a young promotion that's only been around for 6 years is there's a lot of new places we can still visit and new markets. And some of that's even still in America, but certainly all over the world, we're finding that, including last night for the first ever AEW show in Scotland, which was a great success. And looking forward to trying a new arena in London this Sunday for Forbidden Door. Thanks for asking, Mike.
Thanks, Tony. Dominic D'Angelo with Brass Ring Media is up next, followed by Amy Nemedy with WrestleJoy. Dominic?
Hey, Tony, can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can. Hey.
Hey, how's it going? Cool. Looking forward to Forbidden Door this weekend. But you have another cool residency upcoming here in Philadelphia at the 2300 Arena. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to get your thoughts. Obviously, we know your affinity for ECW and the legacy behind that. Do you plan to embrace some aspects of ECW, the history of it, and maybe some surprises moving forward for those couple of weeks that you're going to be there?
Well, there's been so many great wrestling promotions and so many great wrestling memories in the city of Philadelphia, going back many years across multiple promotions and so many great decades of wrestling. For me, Philadelphia was the first place outside of my hometown, Champaign, that I ever saw wrestling outside of my home arena. It was known at the time as the Assembly Hall. Now it's called the State Farm Center. We've done two Dynamite shows there, about 5 years apart in 2019 and 2024. That was where I grew up. And the first place I ever saw wrestling outside of that building was in Philadelphia. Two nights around Philadelphia, and in particular, the 2300 Arena. It was known as the ECW Arena at the time. I have not been to the building in over 29 years, so I'm really looking forward to that. Over 29 years later, returning to a place I went to when I was 13 years old. I was just asked a question by Mike Johnson. I met Mike Johnson there as a 13-year-old. I've known him since I was a 12-year-old tape trader, along with several of you and a lot of the internet tape trading wrestling community that I've known since I was a small kid. And it'll be really, really neat to go back into that building 29 years later. There's a lot of great wrestling promotions that have history there. So numerous legends, whether they were there with Jim Crockett Promotions, the NWA, the WCW, ECW, Tri-State Wrestling, NWA, or Ring of Honor, or numerous other promotions that have competed there over the years. So many of these great names that are associated with that venue. I would like to have some of those stars on, and certainly we'll have a Ring of Honor pay-per-view event there with Death Before Dishonor that I'm really looking forward to, with some great matches. We talked about Athena, the Ring of Honor Women's World Champion, 68-0 in these matches in Ring of Honor, taking on Mina Shirakawa, the interim Ring of Honor Women's World TV Champion, who's also the closest friend and ally of the AEW Women's World Champion, Timeless Toni Storm. So some really exciting things happening across the promotions. Really looking forward to going to the 2300 Arena in Philadelphia for ROH and, of course, for AEW. I can't wait for those events. For ROH also, we just had a great event. If you didn't see the ROH show last week on YouTube, it came out last Friday, so it's been up for less than a week. I think it's really had tremendous feedback from the fans online who watched that event. We put the shows each Thursday on Honor Club, including tonight, but also have been doing some special events on YouTube, showing some classic matches, even some recent classics, like the incredible main event of Supercard of Honor with the Takeshita versus Bandido championship match. And now there's a lot of hype around this Bandido versus Hechicero championship match. I had kind of dreamed up a trailer, a vignette to build up that match, and I thought the production team really delivered for that, and it came out tremendous. That hype around Hechicero versus Bandido for the Ring of Honor championship. And there's going to be some great events in the 2300 Arena, and hopefully we can add to the tradition. There's been a lot of great ROH shows there, and I want to continue that tradition and then build a new tradition, I hope, of AEW in the 2300 Arena with those incredible Philadelphia wrestling fans. They are truly some of the greatest sports fans in the world. And in particular, Philadelphia, I think, has some of the very, very best wrestling fans in the world. So I'm excited to do several weeks of shows in Philadelphia, which is coming up very soon.
Thank you, Tony. Amy Nemedy with WrestleJoy is up next, and she'll be followed by a writing question from Bill Bodkin with the Pop Break. Amy?
Hi, Tony. Can you hear me?
Hey, yes.
We can hear you.
Hi. So I want to talk about this steel cage match at Forbidden Door. We have this dream team lineup, but specifically, I want to talk about Hiroshi Tanahashi. So AEW and New Japan, you've had an incredibly close working relationship over the last few years, particularly with regards to yourself and New Japan president Hiroshi Tanahashi. At Forbidden Door, we will see a completely unique and unprecedented scenario. The president of New Japan fighting in an unsanctioned, lights-out match in a steel cage. Can you talk about how this came together and what it means to be able to host Tanahashi's final UK match here at Forbidden Door in London? Thank you.
Yeah, yes, I'm really glad you asked. Thank you. Well, I was in Chicago. It was a while ago. This would have been even before the residency, but I was in Chicago and I went out after one of the shows, and I was sitting there putting ideas for a card together, sketching out an outline, and I had this idea. Lights out steel cage match. It just sounded so exciting, and having some of the top stars from AEW and New Japan, the top villains and the top fan favorites coming together and making these dream teams of top stars. And it's come together incredibly well. It's exactly the lineup I would have dreamed of, to have these 10 men fighting in this match, some of the top stars from AEW and top stars from New Japan Pro Wrestling, and several of them who have been the very top stars in both promotions at times, which I think is really exciting and compelling. It's just a great group of a mix of the AEW stars, the New Japan stars, and people who have been stars in both promotions. And a who's who, as you've said. I'm tremendously excited about it, and I just kind of wrote down this group of wrestlers and this idea, Lights Out Steel Cage. Our first pay-per-view Lights Out match was the original Full Gear, and it was Kenny Omega versus Jon Moxley. And that was our very first year as a promotion, and now we have Kenny Omega, we have Jon Moxley. They've been top stars and focuses of AEW from the very, very first event we ever did, and they were in our first ever pay-per-view Lights Out match. And now to have them as part of this huge 10-man match with Lights Out Steel Cage, it's really exciting. I think it's going to be very compelling, and people are fired up about it. And I'm excited for it. I think it's just going to be a great, great match as part of this great event. And I had thought about it, and basically I asked Tanahashi if he'd want to do it, and he said yes. And so that's it. We were excited. And as you heard, Will Ospreay very excited about the event. Will Ospreay's been dealing with injuries, especially since he was attacked at AEW All in Texas. He was part of one of the greatest tag team matches we've ever had, a very important, significant match in AEW this year, with the Young Bucks taking on Swerve Strickland and Will Ospreay. And it was a great wrestling match, not only a great match, but certainly had major effects on the promotion. And then in the show, Will Ospreay attacked, suffering from neck injuries and participating in this match. He's very emotional about it and about having this opportunity to compete in his home country in an arena that's just minutes from his home. And we're excited about this lineup and about this match. I think that it's going to be a tremendous event and a tremendous match. And as for how it came about, I was just sketching out ideas, and I thought this would be really cool. And I asked Tanahashi, and he said, I would love to do that. That sounds really cool. So that's how it happened. Thanks for asking.
Thanks, Tony. I have a write-in here from Bill Bodkin with the Pop Break, and this will be followed by Richard Breslin with Glad Bible. So, Tony, you alluded to this a little bit earlier, but can you share some of your thoughts on Bozilla and her debut on Sunday in the four-way for the TBS title?
Yes, I really like Bozilla. President Okada and I had talked, and he is doing a great job. He has his Grand Prix and the scheduling of Forbidden Door. We wanted stardom participation, and Bozilla was my very first choice for somebody that I wanted to have in AEW, and she wasn't available until this week and has just become available in recent days and announced her participation, and I'm very excited about it. I also think for a European pay-per-view, having a European star like Bozilla, who's a second-generation star and has a great wrestling mind in addition to these great physical abilities, and really growing into becoming an excellent wrestler, I really think Bozilla is a great talent and somebody that I wanted to have on the Forbidden Door show. Again, she wasn't available until just these past few days, has just now become available to join us here for this event. It's going to be great. I'm excited to meet with Bozilla, have her working with AEW, but also representing a great promotion in Stardom that we love working with, and we appreciate Stardom sending one of their very best stars like Bozilla to participate in this huge TBS championship four-way match along with CMLL's Persephone, the UK's great rising star Alex Windsor, and of course the TBS champion Mercedes Moné.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks for asking.
Richard Breslin with Lad Bible is up next, followed by Jason Powell with ProWrestling.net. Richard? Richard, you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, yes, we do. Hey, Richard.
Brilliant. Hello. Yeah, thank you.
Richard?
Oh,
Richard,
no.
We did hear
we
you.
Can
we
hear
may
you.
Lost
Go
you.
Ahead.
Oh. Yeah, you're still here, Rich.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, brilliant. Sorry. Right, yeah, I'm getting used to this call. It's my first time. My apologies.
All good. You're good to go, Rich. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you, Richard.
Yeah,
go ahead,
Rich. Go ahead. You can ask your question. It's okay.
Yeah, I'm what you...
Okay,
my friend,
we...
Rich, I didn't hear your question. Could you ask one more time, buddy?
Maybe, I think he's on a mobile and he keeps losing signal.
Okay. Oh,
because he's
Rich,
unmuted.
Can you try starting your question from the top, please?
Okay. Can you hear me clearly now? Or
I do. Yes, I do hear you clearly.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So I've just got back from Collision and Dynamite last night.
Yes.
Absolutely
yes.
Fantastic show. Looking forward to Forbidden Door this weekend. And my best friend and son. A bit of a different question. I really enjoyed AEW Fight Forever when it came out. It's a game I enjoy playing a lot. Are there any plans to maybe consider doing a sequel to AEW Fight Forever? And if so, what lessons may have been learned to improve a game? And would you maybe consider a different developer than yours?
Well, these are great questions, Richard. So I love pro wrestling, and I'll be the first to say that I'm not the biggest expert in the world on video gaming, and I like to play games, but I'm not the expert, and there are great, great experts in the world about it. And I tried to take insight and advice from people in AEW and people around the developers. And absolutely, we learned a lot in the making of the game, and could take that in the future. I really believe to make the next game much better and learn from the experiences of doing that. But I also think that we're having a great year with our wrestling and our TV, our pay-per-views, and doing all kinds of great things that are our core competencies. And it's a great thought, and it's a very different question than the ones I've been getting asked about the pay-per-view, but it's a good question. And I'm not sure what the future would hold. I do think eventually there will be further AEW forays into gaming, different kinds of games, mobile games, different concepts, different platforms. I can't say for sure what they'll all be, because again, like I said, I'll never claim to be the world's biggest expert on video gaming, but I like it, and I know it's a huge part of a lot of our fans' lives. It's really important to a lot of our fans, and I'm trying to learn from that feedback. You just gave very balanced feedback, and I appreciate it about Fight Forever, and you know, as with all of that, I'll take it under consideration. I think it's interesting points you made, and something for us to consider. But certainly we have learned a lot from the making of that game, and I do expect further forays into AEW gaming. As for when and where the next console game would be, I don't know for sure, but I think you're spot on that we can learn from that game. And if and when we're ready to do another console game, it would be with the benefit of the experiences from releasing AEW Fight Forever, which I appreciate you asking about. Thank you very much, Richard. And thanks for attending the AEW Dynamite and Collision shows in Scotland last night as well. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Tony. Jason Powell with ProWrestling.net is up next, followed by Cam Hawkins with Yahoo Sports Uncrowned. Jason?
Hey, Jason.
Hey, Jason, you can go ahead and unmute your line. Okay, why don't we go ahead and try Cam Hawkins with Yahoo Sports Uncrowned, and we'll go back to Jason. Cam, you're up.
Seahawk.
Every time, Tony, every time. How are you today?
I'm great, Seahawk. How are you, sir?
Doing all right. Doing all right. A couple of days ago, I spoke with Swerve Strickland, and he mentioned that while, of course, you know, Jon Moxley's title run was something that was written and produced, there was some truth in that, in who's going to step up, who's going to take it to the next level. And Swerve said right now, he would identify himself, MJF, Will Ospreay, and Hangman Page, you know, all people who have very significant roles coming up at Forbidden Door, as kind of the guys who have taken that extra step, kind of maybe put themselves out there a bit further than everybody else. Of course, without playing favorites. Do you kind of see that similarly? Is that kind of being a core group of guys who are really looking to, you know, take this thing AEW to the next level?
I think that's a great group of core guys. And we've got a great core roster, women and men, that have been on the shows throughout 2025 in prominent positions. Those four have really delivered and been excellent this year. But I agree with him that, you know, Jon Moxley's championship reign was very important. And we did see a number of wrestlers step up. We saw the company band together and get better. I do think it was all based in reality that we had a great champion, Jon Moxley, who set this very high standard. And the fans and the company and everybody wanted to see everybody rise to the challenge and get the very best out of the stars for somebody to step up. Hangman Page is the person that won the Owen Hart Foundation tournament, went to AEW All in Texas, and stepped up and won the world championship. But we saw the roster step up around him. We saw great wrestlers like Swerve Strickland and Will Ospreay, who teamed up to have one of the most important matches this year in AEW, and one of the best tag matches we've ever had in AEW. One of the best matches start to finish with Swerve and Ospreay versus the Young Bucks on, I think, our best show, top to bottom, we've ever done. I do think those four that you mentioned, Swerve, MJF, Will Ospreay, and Hangman in particular, those four have been tremendous this year. And there's a number of wrestlers that have really stepped up throughout the year. But I think that's a good call by Swerve. That's a great example of four that have really stepped up. There's other great stars, just to use some examples. And this is not certainly meant to be a complete list, but some people that have returned to the promotion that have a lot of momentum and excitement around them. Darby Allin would be a great example of that, who had been away, and we're happy to have him back. We've had some injured stars, some of our most important top people, like Jay White and Orange Cassidy, who have both held championships in AEW, but neither of them has been the world champion in AEW, at least not yet. Jay White is somebody who was having a great year and somebody we really believed in and got off to a great start this year before his injury, and was certainly very much a big part of the promotional plans and focus. Orange Cassidy also always a top star on AEW TV. So that's another great star that has been out for a lot of 2025, and we've been able to band together and have a great 2025 while some of the big stars have been out. Those four gentlemen that you mentioned have all delivered, you know, in particular the four that Swerve listed, himself along with Will Ospreay, MJF, and Hangman. Jon Moxley, we said, great champion. He has to be listed as one of the top people that stepped up for the promotion. A number of women throughout this year have been focuses of the promotion, including the top two champions, the world champion Timeless Toni Storm and Mercedes Moné, and a number of other great female stars that have really lifted the company throughout the year and been top stars week to week. And we've had a great consistent roster. The TNT champion, Kyle Fletcher, is somebody who's really stepped up and delivered this year. And we're really excited about the company. We have a great group of young wrestlers. We have a great group of champions, former champions, people that have held titles in the promotion this year and are chasing titles now that we're very excited about. I think that it's going to be, not only has 2025 been a great year, but I think the rest of 2025 is going to be a great year for AEW. And I'm excited for the Forbidden Door show this weekend. And that core roster group has just delivered for us. They've been absolutely fantastic this year. Mark Briscoe is another person that I would put in that group of people that are really delivering. But I think Swerve's onto something. Those four guys are doing a fantastic job. And along with some of these great women and some more of these great men that I've listed, I think you definitely listed a great group that's doing great things for us. Thanks for asking about that. And thank you, Seahawk, for great question, Seahawk. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Take care.
Great. Thanks, Tony. We've only got time for a couple more, so we're going to try Jason Powell with ProWrestling.net one more time and then end with Brian Zillum from PW Torch. Jason, go ahead.
I actually grew up reading Jason Powell. He actually wrote also for the Pro Wrestling Torch when I was a kid. So excited to talk to you, Jason, if you're here, if you can hear me.
No, we can't get him off mute.
Okay.
Okay, well, Jason, ProWrestling.net, they do great stuff. If we get him, we can answer his question if we can get him, and I can talk to Brian here in the meantime.
Great. Why don't we go ahead with Brian at PW Torch?
Let's have a torch talk, Brian.
Tony, can you hear me okay?
I do.
All right. I appreciate that. I might have to actually steal that. I was, I don't think I've heard that one before. My question.
Don't let Wade hear you say that, please.
Well, dude. Tony, my question is real quick. So you've mentioned in the past that 2025 was going to be a big year for the company, but it also seems like a big year for you personally as a leader. How do you feel you've grown and matured as a leader of the company since the early years of AEW?
I appreciate you asking that. I think everybody has stepped up, and it's a team effort. And as the coach of the team, I have to try to do my very best week in, week out. And I just show up every week hoping to put on a great event with some ideas and looking to work with the wrestlers. If you come to an AEW show and you work in the company, one thing you can always count on is I'm going to be there and I'm going to want to help you put on a great event. And I love wrestling. I've loved it since I was very, very young, and I consider myself very fortunate to work in this job, and I bring that to work with me every single day. And as long as I'm grateful to be in the wrestling business and grateful for this position, I think that can only be a good thing for AEW. I appreciate you asking that, but I think really the big success in AEW this year has been from the wrestlers stepping up. Certainly the media rights agreement that we negotiated has been the lifeblood of the promotion, and that's been a major reason for the momentum that we've had this year. Our new partnership with HBO Max and the renewed focus with TBS on Wednesday nights and Saturday nights on TNT, and growing that viewership while we simulcast, and the fans really love what we're doing with AEW, and I like to stay in touch with them, and I like to hear their feedback, and it means a lot when the feedback's good. And almost every week there's been really good feedback this year. Not everything always has to be 100% positive. I want to hear the truth and what people like about the show. And this year, people like most of the things about the show and most of the shows. And that's really exciting. And then it makes me want to keep doing those things and putting on the shows fans want to see. And it's been a great year for the company, and I give the credit for that to the wrestlers and the staff and the great AEW fans. And I really appreciate you asking. Thank you very much, Brian.
No problem. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. Well, Tony, we're at 3:06 now, Central Time. So that puts us at an hour. If you'd like to wrap up with any closing thoughts.
Well, it's good. We're only 10 minutes from Tony 3:16. I don't think I'll make it quite that far. I do have some closing thoughts, and it's just to say thank you to all of you. I really appreciate you. I do think, as we've said, it's been a great year, and it's only possible, as I said, because of the staff, the wrestlers in AEW, and the fans and the media. I really appreciate all of you covering AEW. Many of you have been covering AEW since the very beginning of the promotion, since it was just an idea before our first event. And I really, really appreciate that. Thank you for giving us this chance. A lot of you have said a lot of positive things about AEW in 2025. And a lot of you give really balanced feedback, and I appreciate it. And I like hearing your thoughts, and I appreciate when you're fair too. And giving us a fair chance to just do our best. And I like hearing what you like about the promotion or what you'd want to see changed. And thankfully, people really like a lot of the things this year and want us to keep putting on the kinds of great events we've been doing week to week. So that means a lot, and I really appreciate it. Thank you for your insights. Thank you for covering pro wrestling, all of you. Thanks for being here. I tried to answer as many of your questions as I could in this 1 hour and 8 minutes. And hopefully I'll see some of you at the Forbidden Door Scrum and upcoming pay-per-view press conferences and scrums. And as always, I'll try to answer as many questions as possible. And I just want to thank you all for joining us here today. And thank you all for covering pro wrestling and for covering AEW. Thank you very much.